This is Johnny from Pet Needs, and you are listening to Stuart Pink on Phoenix FM.
Yes, it is. And I'm very excited to say, joining me from Essex's favourite punk rock rabble is Johnny from Pet Needs. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Stuart. How's it going, mate?
It's going very well. Thanks for zooming in. Can you describe the scene for us where you're zooming in from?
So I am zooming in from my spare bedroom, which we went to Ibiza, me and my wife, and we decided to make this into a bit of a hippie Ibiza room. And then it became a storage space for all of the Pet Needs merch. So what was once a very chill space is now just surrounded by boxes of t-shirts and vinyl and CDs and things like that.
See, I was thinking that was a spare duvet, but that is rock and roll. That is now a pile of band shirts. Doesn't get any more.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. So hopefully you won't be needing much space in the spare room now. This is it. We're going to sell out all the merch and then you have the spare room back. Is that what she's
charged
you?
Fingers crossed. That's it. Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's the plan, man.
That's the plan. I should also introduce George Handler, who's on the radio with us as well.
Hello, everybody.
In case you chip in with questions, a bit of those.
Yeah, I'm around. I'm floating voice. I can.
Good. Excellent. Jolly, I know this is a very exciting time for you and the band. New album coming soon, which is sounding great already. We've already heard the new single. Spinning it on the radio box. It's been an exciting project for you.
Yeah, it's been amazing. This is the first ever album that we actually set out to make from the start as well. We've released one album before, but we'd already had most of the songs written for it before we decided to make an album. We started kind of like pushing them together and started like forming an album out of that. This time we set out to make this album right from the start. So it's not a concept album by any means, but we were like, right, how do we want the album to start? What journey do we want to take people on and how do we want it to end? And it was really exciting. As opposed to it being like kind of a scrapbook or a photo album, it felt more like kind of like writing a story or something where you kind of gave it that beginning, the middle, and the end, and you kind of thought about it in the terms of it being one kind of like whole piece. So yeah, it's really cool. I'm really excited for people to hear it. I'm a little bit nervous for people to hear it because it's more honest and more autobiographical than anything we've ever done before. To the point that I had to sit my mum down the other day and have a conversation about some of the topics that are going to be coming out. But musically, really proud of it. Really proud of the production as well. It was recorded and produced by our friend and a guy that we've been doing a lot of touring with, Frank Turner, who's just absolutely smashed it out of the park and been able to spend 2 weeks in the studio with someone who's got that much professional experience and someone who we respect so much as a songwriter and now as a producer as well for spending that time in the studio with him. It's amazing. And it's still our own kind of brand of what we call fractured party music. But I think it's at times a little bit more vulnerable, at times a little bit heavier as well, but it's still something that you can jump about to and party to as well. And yeah, I'm super proud of it. I'm excited for people to hear it.
Amazing. We can't wait to hear it too. You mentioned our friend Frank Turner has been on the show before. Big shout out to Frank. We understand he's an Essex man these days. And I think last time he joined us to talk about his number one UK album, he was actually joining us from his home studio. Was this the same studio you went and hang out with? Essentially a shed.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. 100%. So yeah. So it's kind of like in the bottom of his garden. He's filled it with the best gear in the world.
Hell of a shed.
Yeah, that's it. It's a very very high-tech shed, but it was cool. It was really nice, and it was really cool that we were able to make a space that was so small into a space that was so creative as well. Beforehand, we've done things before where we've recorded in massive spaces and there'll be like kind of a big grand piano in the middle of the room and stuff, and like, and I was, that's one of the things I was a little nervous at the start about, going into a space where it is kind of constricted, but then it kind of really brought a focus to everything as well, because you'd have one of the lads kind of in the little kind of like room where they were recording, and then the rest of us all sitting in the kind of control room. Whereas before as well, it might be that we might be tracking drums or something, and I'd just be wandering around the massive studios that we've recorded in, like massive space wise, and just like going somewhere else or going into a little room. But because this was all kind of like, we're all so on top of each other, it forced everyone to be involved in every creative decision. So even like with the drums, all of us are sitting in the control room and all of us are focused and all of us are listening to it, which means I think we were all so much more invested in everyone else's parts as well, which is really cool. And I learned more about production by doing this album than I ever have by doing anything before. And I think that's partly down to the way Frank works, partly down to where we were in the fact that we knew we were recording an album this time, and partly down to the actual space we recorded in as well.
Amazing. Just like old times then, you and your brother sitting in a small room, rocking out.
That's exactly it. And we've been doing it for years. Like, we formed our first band, I think, when I was about maybe 13 and he was 10, or maybe even younger than that. We never did any gigs, but then we formed another band when he was about 13 and I was about 16. And we played kind of like old school punk in the style of kind of like X-Ray Specs kind of stuff. Yeah. And we loved it. And then I went off to university and kind of our band split up, and he stayed in Derby. And it was only a few years later when he came down to live with me after kind of deciding to jack in his job working in an overnight garage and start afresh. I said, look, come stay on my sofa in Essex for a bit and we'll see what happens. And we both had guitars and we both started writing punk music, and that was about 6 years ago now. And now we're here and we do it as a job, which is still mind-blowing. Like, it still blows my mind. I had to tell student loans the other day because I got a letter through the door saying, can you let us know, because you're now not on payroll anywhere else, can you let us know what you're doing? And I had to put self-employed musician, which, one, is terrifying, because I used to get paid on the 27th of each month every, and when the 27th rolls past and my wages don't fall in there, I'm so kind of experience rich at the moment, being able to, like, we've toured so much this year already, which has been such a privilege. And it's kind of made me massively reassess what's important in life as well. Because you're only here for a certain amount of years. Life's kind of a holiday, right? And like, so like when I'm lying on my deathbed in like however many years' time, so I want to be the person with the stories and the person that definitely said yes to the opportunities, you know?
What a way to live. That's an amazing message. Awesome. So we'll have a listen to your single, one of the new singles off the new album, Fear for the Whole Damn World. What can you tell us about this one?
So this is a kind of a bit of a tribute to my little kitten who we had in lockdown, who sadly passed away way too early. But so it's kind of written in tribute to her. She was a very punk rock cat and she deserved a punk rock song. And then it's kind of focuses on kind of her story, but then also focuses on, sometimes I get into a headspace where I get this anxiety where I'm like a little bit like what I was just telling you now about kind of how life's a holiday, but like am I doing the right thing in my life, am I making the right life decisions? And it's like that kind of I kind of like fear that I haven't done any good yet, but then I kind of like opened the window and I was looking out at the world when like the Tories were in power, and this is when Donald Trump was in power in the US and stuff. And it was like, oh my God, I'm terrified about my own life and my own life decisions on the kind of micro level. But then I opened the door and I'm terrified about the world as well. So it's kind of a lot of bundled up anxiety all in a kind of quite a rowdy punk song.
Excellent. Do you want to give it an introduction and we'll spin it now on Phoenix FM?
Yeah, of course. My name's Johnny. I sing for the band Pet Needs, and this is our new single, Fear for the Whole Damn World.
Jump!
epic new stuff from Pet Needs. Fear for the whole damn world. Johnny from the band is still with me. Dude, what a headbanging tune.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Yeah, yeah, really proud of it. I really liked on the arrangement of this song, actually, that we got our friend Malachi to lay some cello down on it right at the end. So if you listen carefully,
nice.
There's a really nice kind of cello line that kind of weaves in with the guitar line, which is something that we'd never kind of like really tried in like a heavy song before. But yeah, if you listen to it again, listen to out for that, because he is he's like a proper musician. Sometimes we work with proper musicians.
A punk rock and, cello player.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. He's played on some slower stuff on the album as well, but we really liked that he laid down a really nice cello line in a heavy part of a song, you know.
Amazing. So it's from your album Primetime Entertainment, which comes out very soon. I think when you were last on the station, you were chatting to Paul Golder, Resurrection, 8 p.m. Fridays. And he was talking to you about a gig you were about to do with a pop-up orchestra. So I'm interested, when you did that, is that kind of fed into the way that you've put this album together? You mentioned a bit about orchestral arrangements and some classical sort of influence.
Yeah, so that gig was the most nervous I've ever been for anything ever in my whole entire life. I warmed up. We're only playing two songs, and there were two songs. One of them is our biggest single off the last album, one called Tracy Emin's Bed. And I had all of the words to the song that I'd sung 100 times on the floor on the piece of paper in case I forgot it. That's it. And I'd warmed up for this show for 5 hours, because I was like, if my voice goes right, because it's all being filmed as well. The video hasn't come out yet. There's a few YouTube videos and stuff, but like recorded on phones. But the experience was amazing. And we didn't get a proper rehearsal with the band. We got to have a rehearsal with about a quarter of the band. The orchestra, with about a quarter of the orchestra the day before. And then we didn't have a real proper time to rehearse properly with the orchestra, because they're all kind of like grade 8 musicians. They just sight read it all.
They were just reading like a book. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So when we went on and we started, like the music started quiet and then it built up and then it all just exploded.
Whoa.
And I was feeling it for the first time at the same time as the audience. And it was one of the most overwhelming experiences. There's two times in my life that I've shed a tear when I've come off stage. And number one was that show, because it was just like I had, because we only did two songs as well, I had so much pent up emotion that I've been building up to it for so long. And then the second was when I came off stage in Los Angeles the other day, because we just finished a 2-month tour of America, which was nuts. But yeah, I think that orchestral show, how it affected the writing, I don't think it did, because we recorded the album before we did the show. However, it's made me really appreciate the power of just strings and brass and stuff like that. And we're really lucky that we've included that kind of stuff on the album already. What it's made me want to do as well, and I've already been talking to Sean Boswell, who's the guy that kind of arranges it all. I've been trying to persuade him to let us do a full, like do a full show with them, where we can do like a full hour set. He's going to take a little bit more persuading at the moment, because it's a lot of work on their part, but it would be incredible, because it's still hands down the most overwhelming, amazing show that I've ever played in my whole entire life.
I feel like one of my favorite albums of all time is Metallica's S&M, the whole rock guitar orchestra. I mean, this it's Essex version, let's do it.
Yeah, it works so well. I remember maybe about 10 years ago or something, the BBC did a series of them where they do. I remember the Streets did one, and it's just amazing. And then different style of music completely. But I went, I think it was last year or the year before, to see Pete Tong and the Royal Heritage Orchestra. And my wife Lorna, she's really into kind of garage music and house music when she was younger. And it wasn't really my style, but I could kind of appreciate it in the same way I might appreciate a piece of art or something like that, but I wouldn't like choose to put it on. But then I kind of like went, and we were in the O2, like the Millennium Dome. So they had amazing, massive speakers, and it's like this 100-piece orchestra comes out and starts playing this garage music, and it just blew me away. There's something about an orchestra that's so just so emotive and just like hits you just in the feels. So if we could ever do something like with an orchestra, like for a full set, it'd be incredible.
Mind-blowing stuff. Absolutely. You mentioned your live shows. You've been on tour with Frank Turner recently, the 50 dates in 50 states or something like that. I can't remember the exact title, but amazing stuff. You're out on not one, but two European tours for this next album.
I don't know what's announced yet, but there's loads of stuff that I don't know what's announced and what is announced. But yeah, there's loads of plans to head out to Europe again. The stuff that I know that's definitely announced so far is that we're out in Berlin in September doing Lost Evenings with Frank Turner, which is going to be really cool. And then we come back and we do a whole UK tour with Frank. I think the closest show to Essex is Brixton Academy on the 25th of September. And then there's a few things that are yet to be announced kind of in between that. And then the biggest thing that personally we're heading towards at the moment is the 16th of December, which is Colchester Arts Centre, which is our biggest headliner to date, which is on the verge of selling out. It's about 30 tickets away from selling out now, which I'm super excited about. Yeah, that's it. And like I moved to Colchester like maybe about 7 or 8 years ago. And when you're a local band or a local musician, like playing Colchester Arts Centre, which is like an old kind of like converted church, it's beautiful and the sound's amazing in there, the light's amazing in there. You kind of got that kind of like nod of respect if you played the Arts Centre, if you were kind of like an opening band or something. And to be able to headline that place is just incredible. And the fact that it looks like we might be playing a sold out show there as well, just absolutely, nice. Absolutely blows my mind. So yeah, that's what we're heading towards. And then there's plans for us to get back out to Europe and get back out to America and stuff. Unannounced so far, and some are kind of like in the works behind the scenes as well. But the plan, Stuart, is just to be as busy as possible and keep getting out to as many people as possible, because we've had such an opportunity and we just want to like grab it with both hands, man.
Johnny, real quick, when you're as a musician, when you go live, obviously you are a punk group. Punk groups throughout since punk basically started, they've been so well known for their live performances just being chaotic and really stand out. How do you as a band, how do you try to stand out in the midst of artists like Frank Turner when you're playing dummy he sets as well?
Yeah, sure. I think when it's very interesting, because when you're playing, when you're a support band, it's like you're being invited to someone else's party and you've got half an hour to get in, and you've got to presume that nobody knows you. Like as you go around, kind of like more and more people kind of like begin to know you on a tour, because kind of word spreads, but you've got to presume that nobody knows you. And we kind of like work the set in a way that we, because you've only got half an hour, you kind of do your kind of greatest hits, basically. You go in and get all your singles out and stuff, all your really, really high energy stuff. But then weirdly with me, I think a lot of it is what you're saying to the audiences between songs as well, and how you're getting people on side. Because you can go on and you can play the tightest set in the world, but if you're not really speaking to the audience, people might enjoy the music, but they don't really get the personality across as well. Yeah. And I'm really a massive fan of kind of stand-up comedy. And I've also like, I've got a degree in psychology, and I'm really into kind of crowd psychology and stuff and how to kind of win people over and how to get people on side. So I think a way to stand out, obviously, like as a punk band, play fast and play hard and play every single show like it's your last show, but then really think about what you're going to say to the audience and how you're going to get people on side as well, and how you're going to get people not just fans of the band, but that people really want to be advocates of the band afterwards as well and want to shout about the bands. And I think the other thing that we do is we make sure that we sell our own merchandise as well. So we jump straight off stage and two of us, our drummer and our bass player, they pack down the stage and me and George just run straight off the stage through the crowd, right over to the merch desk. And then within like a minute, even if it's a venue like Brixton Academy, within a minute, we're on the merch desk and we're selling our own merch and we're having those conversations and we're making friends and then we're building those connections. And especially when we're in America, we had so many amazing experiences as a result of building those connections as well. Like we met someone on the merch desk who worked for Disney World. And the next day we got VIP passes to Disney World and suddenly we were on all the rides and stuff.
Living the dream.
Yeah, that's it. So I think, yeah, the impression that you make on stage is really important. And it's about kind of like being humble and making that connection, but also so much of this business, because it is a business, but at our level, it's about making friends and about making friends and giving people the time and making people feel valued. And then next time you come around, people should be excited for you to come back when you're playing the smaller room, when you're headlining yourself.
Yeah. Because as from the fans' point of view as well, if you're watching a supporting act that's only playing like 30 minutes, say, you want to go back to it. You know what I mean, I've seen gigs before that when you see 30 minutes, as long as I'm hooked by what's going on stage and the personality they show, I want to go back more. It's not just sound; it's also what you're saying. And I feel that as a watching a punk group, I want to see a personality. I want to see how you go against the rules of punk, of the nonconformity and the establishment, to say. And it really sounds like Pet needs really promoting that.
That's it, man. And I got a piece of advice once, which was always start with your best song and finish with your second best song, because then you go on, because your first impression is so important. So you've just got to go out, and whereas you think usually it's kind of like you think like, oh no, finish on your best song, kind of work up to a kind of massive crescendo, but you've got to go out, and if people aren't hooked within 30 seconds, or if people don't stop their conversation within 30 seconds, you could lose the audience straight away, you know. So you've just got to go out fast and go out hard and go out with what you think at least is your best song. And then it's about having the confidence to say, yeah, we do belong here, we deserve your attention, but also having the humility to be able to communicate with people on a level where you're not arrogant at all. You're just kind of like open about it. And when we were in America, especially, like one of the things that we were saying was that like we genuinely set up this band like 5-6 years ago so we could play punk songs to our mates in Colchester in Essex, and just being really honest about how absolutely nuts it is that we're now playing this in Los Angeles or Las Vegas or like Chicago or something. It was just, so that was the kind of angle that we went with that it was just absolutely, you're just bonkers. It was, which is true. It's just like, it's being completely honest.
Nice. That's a lovely question and a great answer, great advice. I think the best advice to the crowd then is don't go and have a beer. Get there early to see the support band because they'll do the best song first.
Yeah. Yes, that's it. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us. So Pet needs to be on at Colchester Arts Centre on the 16th of December. That's our local gig, which we're going to be plugging, but almost sold out, so get there fast. Johnny, thank you so much for chatting to us. It's been great. Good luck with the album when it lands. Cannot wait to get it in our ears and in our lives. And come see you down there for some merch.
Hope nice one. Cheers, room. Guys. Really good to see you both. Cheers.
Nice to see you, mate.
Phoenix 98 FM. Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews, check the events for your area, and listen to great radio online.